in our living room with the kitchen chairs, of course, and a sheet, of course, thrown over the top of them. Getting down in front of the couch, which is easier to get down than get back up. With the grandkids there, and watch the historic show, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, made in 1964, a year before I was born. In the story, of course, Rudolph and an elf who wanted desperately to be a dentist. They're in the wilderness and they are in danger of the abominable snow monster of the north who roars, peeping over the mountains with claws. And the two of them, of course, they ram their heads, just their heads, into a snowbank to hide from the monster. Of course, their tail ends are still sticking out there for easy pickings. Well, about that time, along comes a burly northern prospector by the name of Yukon Cornelius. Yukon Cornelius. He's fully dressed out, this huge mustache, his prospector pick and sled, his cap and his dog team, a hog leg sidearm. I noticed that in his belt. That's a little dated, right? They probably wouldn't allow that today. And all the trappings, of course, of a man such as himself. Yukon Cornelius comes along there with a sled and he notices the rear parts of Rudolph and the elf sticking out of the snowbank, and of course he jerks them out and then demonstrates to them the vanity of their actions to try to hide that way from the snow monster. Along with this colorful character, he periodically, as the story goes along, throws his pickaxe up in the air, allowing it, of course, to fall and stick into the snow just right. Then he picks it up and he smells it and he licks it. Yes, he licks it with his tongue. And again, as the story goes on, this happens again and again. All about, of course, the story primarily about Rudolph, that red-nosed reindeer. And he does the same thing, throws the prospector's pick up in the air when he comes down, sticks in the ground, he picks it up, he sniffs it, and then he licks it. And then he says with a great sadness in his voice, "Nothing. Nothing. Nothing." You get the idea that, of course, he's looking for silver and gold, as there's, of course, that song that's included in the story, which is sung by Sam the Snowman with his faithful banjo, you know, with his four fingers, not five, never five, four. But not so fast. At last, toward the end of the show, they are outside of Santa's workshop, and once again, Yukon Cornelius throws his pickup in the air, down it comes, sticks into the snow as before. He picks it up. He sniffs and licks it the final time, and he says with great joy, "Peppermint, peppermint, what I have been searching for all of my life, I've struck it rich. I've got me a peppermint mine." And he was very excited. Cornelius, Yukon Cornelius, knew what he was looking for, and he found it. He found it. Knowing what we should be looking for is very important in life. And never more important than in the spiritual realm. Knowing what we should be looking for. Scripture, of course, asks this question in Matthew 16, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Since the fall of man to sin, mankind to sin, God has pointed out to mankind what we should be looking for. Then, now, and always. He's told us exactly what we ought to be looking for. Now it should be no surprise we find the same lesson in the Christmas story. Because his story is all about him and, of course, his story. So let's go there first. In Matthew chapter 1 and 2, the Bible records, of course, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as fulfilling prophecies, plural prophecies, of the Old Testament. And we find throughout the narrative words like, which convey a divine connection really between the Old Testament prophecies and their fulfillment, of course, such as Matthew 1:22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Matthew 2:5, for thus it is written by the prophet, again, takes us back to the Old Testament prophecies in chapter 2, verse 15, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, this type of reflection of the prophecies is found throughout the gospel of Matthew, always pointing back that this is not something new, this is something fulfilled. It is the main thought of Scripture, this that we should be looking for. And the name is Jesus. The Lord Himself said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 18, and we'll consider the message for the day, looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. In chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him and his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Then when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus, again, is it written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they opened unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Olivia did good with that. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, here we go again, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now here in this wonderful text, we find just a few simple things that are so delightful. The first, of course, is Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus. Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus. Back in chapter 1, and while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. By the word of the Lord, through this messenger, they then looked for the Lord. Didn't they not? They looked for the Lord. Number two, the wise men were looking for Jesus. You've always heard the message, wise men still seek the Lord. Wise men were looking for Jesus in chapter 2, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. We're here to worship this Lord. These wise men from the east, highly likely in my estimation, were taught by Daniel and the Hebrew children, the faithful, and their students who taught and who taught and who taught the great prophecies of the Old Testament. And they had these things revealed unto them throughout the years, teaching in a faraway land the great things of Almighty God and the prophecies about what? The most important thing, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. So the wise men were looking for the Lord. From Luke chapter 2, we know that the angels were looking for the Lord. And in our text, number 4, the Old Testament prophets were looking for Jesus. Who of them? All of them. All of them. They were all looking for Jesus. Look in verse 22 of Matthew 1. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This, of course, comes to us from the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, how about that? How about that? Now we know this name, Emmanuel, means God with us. So he's here and many other places. The prophets both demonstrate and declare that he would be God and he would also be man, demonstrated humanity and, of course, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who they are to be looking for. That's who we are to be looking for yet today. But notice, this is just one prophecy concerning the coming of the Lord, the Messiah, each speaking and looking to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right here I have in my hand, I'm not going to say formally stained nicotine hands, but I'll just say I have in my hand several pages. And it's been a long time since I worked with size 12 font, but I think it's size 12 font. You say, what do you work with? Not size 12 font. I have here in my hands over 300 Old Testament prophecies and pictures that all say, look to Jesus, and here's what to look for. How long would y'all like to be here? This is a vast study in and of itself. Could I just share a few of them? Is that all right? Okay, you got Christmas shopping to do? Do it later. Listen, all the way back to Brother Colt's famous chapter, Genesis 3, the seed of the woman. Look for him. All the way back. All the way back. Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. Look for this seed. Genesis 3. He's going to bruise Satan's head. Look to Jesus. Genesis 9. The God of Shem would be the son of Shem. How can that be? Look to Jesus. How about the priest after the order of Melchizedek? Genesis 14. Look for Jesus. All this says look for Jesus. The Lamb of God promises in Genesis 22. The time of his coming, Genesis 49. Called Shiloh, or the one sent, Genesis 49. The great I am, Exodus chapter 3. The Lamb without blemish, Exodus 12. Christ is our Passover, also Exodus 12. There's a bunch. The blood will make the atonement, Leviticus 17. The serpent on the pole, that Christ would be lifted up, Numbers 21. David's seed, 2 Samuel 7. that he would be the mediator, the go-between in Job chapter 9, that he was not to see corruption. Okay, not to see corruption, Psalm 16, and would rise from the dead, of course, Psalm 16, 9 through 11. He'd be forsaken because of the sins, not of himself, but because of others. In Psalm 22 is just loaded, just absolutely loaded. Betrayed by a familiar friend. Yeah, that one. Psalm 41, his name would be remembered forever. Psalm 45, he was given vinegar when he said he was thirsty. That's Psalm 69. Great persons were to come and visit him. He's wise men. Psalm 72. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90. He is to come while the temple is yet standing. Psalm 118. He's to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7. The wonderful one. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All in Isaiah chapter 9. He would open blind eyes. He'd give sight to the blind. Isaiah 42. He is the only Savior. Only, at all times, only Savior. The only Savior. Isaiah 43. His salvation would be unto the ends of the earth. Isaiah 40:49. He would be a man of great sorrow and grief. Isaiah 53. He will bear the penalty of the iniquities of mankind. Isaiah 53. He dies for the sins of the world. Isaiah 53. Buried in a rich man's grave, Isaiah 53. Numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53. He would preach the good news, Isaiah 61. Born of a virgin, Jeremiah 31. A stone that shall break the kingdoms, Daniel 2. He will be cut off, Daniel 9. He'd be killed before the destruction of the temple. Okay, Daniel 9. He would defeat death, Hosea 13. He'd be born in Bethlehem, Micah 2. He'd be the priest and king, Zechariah 6, he would present himself in Jerusalem riding on a donkey. How about that? Zechariah chapter 9, he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Exactly. 30 pieces of silver, chapter 11, that his body would be pierced in chapter 12. Pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. That just scratches the surface. And if you go through here, you look at all the New Testament references and you see the fulfillment of every one of them. They all say, all the prophets say, look to Jesus. Moses said, look to Jesus. They all say, look to Jesus. Each and every book of the Holy Bible says a message. And it says, look to Jesus. Listen to this great list, and I'll try not to bore you, but it's really important, all right? Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's the high priest. Numbers, the pillar of a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Deuteronomy, he's the prophet likened to Moses. Joshua is commander of the Lord's army, the army of hosts. Judges, he is our judge, he is our lawgiver. And Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, he's the seed of David. Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. Nehemiah, the rebuilder of everything broken. Esther, he's our advocate. And Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. Psalms, he's the great shepherd. Proverbs, he is our wisdom. Ecclesiastes, he's our meaning for life. Song of Solomon, he's the loving bridegroom. Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the glorious Lord. Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Hosea, he's the faithful husband. Joel, he's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amos, he's the burden bearer. Obadiah, he's the judge and savior. Jonah, he's the risen prophet. Micah, he's the ruler of the world from Bethlehem. Nahum, he's our stronghold. Habakkuk, he's our watchman. Zephaniah, he's the mighty to save. Haggai, he's the restorer. Zechariah, he's the branch of David, the one pierced for us. Malachi, he is the son of the righteous. That's just the Old Testament. Matthew, he's the King of Kings, the Son of the living God. And Mark, he's the servant, the miracle worker. In Luke, he's the baby in the manger. He's the Son of Man. And John, he is the Son of God, the living Word, the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world, the ascended Lord. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he's the resurrection. 2 Corinthians, he's our comfort. In Galatians, he's our liberty. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he is our completeness and glue that holds the world together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our coming King. 2 Timothy, he is our mediator. In Philemon, he is our benefactor. Titus, our blessed hope. Hebrews, our perfection. In James, he is the power behind our faith. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd and the cornerstone. 2 and 3 John, he's the truth and the everlasting life. In Jude, he's the foundation of our faith, our security. In Revelation, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They all say to the prophet, look to Jesus. They all say, same thing. So we shouldn't be surprised to find it in the Christmas story. Look for Jesus. Yukon Cornelius was not the only one to look for something. And when he picked up his trusty prospector axe and flipped it in there and it stuck in the ground and licked it, nothing. Go back and watch it. Disgust, nothing. He's not the only one. Catch me in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let me show you something here. Solomon was one of the most powerful men on the planet. He found the same nothing as Yukon Cornelius. He sure did. That's what happens when you're not looking for Jesus. You know what you're going to end up with? You know what you're going to end up with? Nothing. And that's how you're going to feel about it. At first you may think, nothing. Nothing. Catch me in verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. It's what? Nothing. I said of laughter, it is mad. Of myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. The water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold. The peculiar treasures of kings of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the lights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion in all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there's no profit under the sun. Nothing. 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 He stuck his prospector picked it in the ground, picked it up and made an evaluation of that, and he says, vanity of vanity. But Solomon learned later. Go over to chapter 12. He says, before we go, let me tell you what I learned. I learned what the prophets of old and all the New Testament teachers and prophets, what they all said. I learned the same thing that God's trying to teach us even in the Christmas story. Let us hear, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole, and you see duty is in italics, This is the whole of man. This is the whole duty of man. Solomon struck it rich. What he should have been looking for all of his life is looking for Jesus for everything that he would need. Could I offer you that the happiest people on earth are those who are looking for Jesus? The happiest people on earth. Solomon, he got all this stuff and nothing. Nothing. Vanity of vanities. The holiest people on this earth. Guess what? They're also looking for Jesus. Looking unto Him. Our blessed hope. Keeping our eyes on Him. If you'll take the time to read about the man Simeon and the woman Anna, that blessed old woman faithful she was, in Luke chapter 2, you will find they were both, guess what, looking for Jesus. How about that? Looking for Jesus. They were happy and they were holy. Now, let me ask you, are you happy this Christmas? Are you holy this Christmas? Well, I've got the answer if you're not. Look to Jesus. And if you're not looking to Jesus, you're not going to be happy. If you're not looking to Jesus, you're not going to be holy. You're not going to be concerned about your spiritual life unless you're looking to Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." The Bible teaches us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Of our faith. Look and live. Look. Seek. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord of the Word. It's declared from Genesis to Revelation. Everywhere you see, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Search the Scriptures. The Lord Himself said, "In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Look to Jesus. Seek the Lord early. You know, the wise men, they were wise. They didn't wait until the Lord was 12 years old before they went to see Him. They made their way. Listen, that wasn't just getting on a jet plane. They made their way in a hard journey to the blessed side of the Lord to present unto Him honorable gifts. They did that while He was young. They didn't wait until He's 30 years old and He could qualify to be a rabbi. They went early. They went early. They did not wait until the Lord was pressed and rejected by the masses after a year of great popularity. Everybody wants a miracle. Everybody wants a miracle. And all of a sudden, they disappear by the masses. He said, "Will you go away too?" Peter says, "To whom shall we go? We're looking to you." They didn't wait for that to take place. Well, he's really down now, so we really need to show up. No, they showed up early. Why? They were looking for Jesus. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." The Lord is right in front of you. And it's time for you to look to the Lord. And it may have been, you know, it's just when I was young, I looked to the Lord and I was happy and I was a holy lad. And I'd say, praise God that you knew something of happiness and you knew something of holiness when you were a lad. What about now? You say, "Well, preacher, the water has been bittered." Who bittered the water? It wasn't the Lord. Hey, it wasn't the Lord. Why are you holding it against Him? It wasn't the Lord. You know what the Lord says again? Look to me and live. Look for me in the little ones. Look for me in the Word. Look for me in the elements of the universe, they declare the glory of God. Look for me and you'll find me. You'll find me. And if you'll look and you'll keep looking and keep looking for the Lord, you'll be happy. Those who are looking for the blessed return, the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ on tiptoe expectancy, they're the happiest people on the planet. They're also the holiest people on the planet. They know at any time, any second, imminent return of Jesus Christ happened just like that. And they're ready. How can you be ready but by being holy? Come on. How can you be ready but by being holy? So if we're not happy and we're not holy, we're not looking to the Lord the way we should. Right? Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now this Christmas time, we like to receive gifts. My wife, I pick on her, says, you know that little song, one for you and two for me. Oh, what a Christmas day. How about giving Jesus a gift? How about giving Jesus a gift? Turn your eyes off of the failures of humanity. Turn your eyes off the failures of your husband. Turn your eyes off the failures of your wife. Turn your eyes off the heartache of children and grandchildren. Turn your eyes off of the disappointments of a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a school teacher, a parent, a principal, whoever it may be. And how about lifting up your eyes unto the Lord? And find again happiness and holiness. When I was a little lad, I used to sleep on the top bunk of a bunk bed. And on the bottom bunk was my sister, Miss Angel. She slept on the bottom bunk. Well, I had a problem. And that problem was I had the wiggles. And I would wiggle too much and I would fall off of that top bunk. And we had concrete for flooring and that was it. It was painted a strange brown. I remember that distinctly. Great was the fall of it. Conk, 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 conk. That's what happened to my head. See, that's what happened to me all over. And so Daddy said, well, we're going to have to put him on the bottom bunk. Now, that was bad, too, because I'd be asleep in the bottom bunk and I would dream those springs right above me were snakes and they were coming to get me. Oh, it was a reoccurring dream. Nightmares. I'll probably dream the same dream again tonight. But I remember Daddy waking us up one early morn and he says, it's Christmas morning, and I had on my PJs, I had on my onesies, you know. Then I had on the little rubber bottoms and I jumped out of my bed and I hit that corner and I turned that corner and this foot went that way and that foot went that way. And the preacher, when he's a little guy, ripped his britches about that big. Rip. Did it slow me down? No, because I was happy. And I'm going right on into the living room, around the kitchen, and turned into the living room. And I'm bending over and I'm mooning everybody in the house. And everybody looks at those old 8mm films, you know. I see the moon. I didn't care. I was happy. And when you're happy and you're holy, all the cares of the world, nothing. Nothing. I'm happy in the Lord anyway. Now, how about you get a little bit of that Christmas? Let's stand.